Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. According to what I've just been told, here's the podcast for the Early Morning Late Show. Enjoy our conversations.
Good morning. It is 4 minutes past the hour of 6 o'clock Central Time for those of you in Hartford. Of course, a little later in the day for you, 4 past 7. We used to say in our house, Rebecca, rise and shine, my little biscuits, as we were trying to pull the kids off of the sheets. That may be some of you this morning. I'm Dick Whitworth filling in for Bill Arnold. Bill will be back tomorrow. He's been off for a little vacation, and so well-deserved. Grateful for the opportunity to be here and hope you've enjoyed the week. Our verse today is actually our verse for the day for Faith Radio. And if you don't subscribe to this, let me encourage you to do so. You can visit myfaithradio.com. But when you get your computer on, it's one of the first emails of the day. And I think that's a great thing. Today it's out of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. And it says this, Paul writing, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility." So much to unpack in that verse, we don't have time, but what a great verse to start the day, for he himself is our peace, and we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, again, good morning. We've got a great hour ahead. Bob Vanderplaats, president of the Family Leader, is going to be actually talking to Rebecca. Rebecca had a chance yesterday to share briefly. You've known Bob a long time.
Yes, several years.
And so had a chance to sit down with him yesterday and give us just a sneak preview of what we're going to be talking about.
Well, we don't always open up the headlines and see a debate about forgiveness and what forgiveness looks like. But that's what happened between CNN and MSNBC. And Bob was kind of right in the middle of that. So when I saw him writing these responses, I thought this is exactly what Faith Radio wants to hear. We want to talk about forgiveness, what that looks like, especially in a world that's less inclined to forgive than maybe ever before.
And he was with MSNBC and CNN. There was some conversation there. So we're going to hear more about that in just a few moments. Rebecca will be leading that interview in just a little bit. Kim Cotola from Cradle My Heart will be joining us in the second half of this hour. So we hope you'll stay with us. Don't forget, 1 week from today, we'll be in really the final full day of our spring share. If you haven't already joined the team that keeps us on the air, keeps us going and growing, would you consider joining next week? It's spring share. It starts Tuesday the 10th and runs through Friday morning. And we'd love to have your prayerful support. So thank you for praying for this ministry. And if it's Faith Radio has been an encouragement to you or helped you in your faith, this is the time of year that we ask you to join us in really making Faith Radio possible, whether it's on the air over that proverbial radio station you may be listening to or through your favorite connected device, whatever that may be. We're going to be back with more of the Early Morning Late Show in just a moment.
And welcome back to the Early Morning Late Show. You know, it's not often that you read the mainstream headlines. You know, you wake up in the morning, click open your news or open the newspaper if you like old school, and you see a robust debate on forgiveness. But recently, there have been a few different news outlets kind of weighing in and doing just that on the topic of forgiveness, specifically surrounding evangelicals and President Trump. And of course, when the world wants to talk about forgiveness, there's really no better time for the church to step into the conversation because, well, we know a little bit about that subject. And one voice speaking into this discussion happens to be a friend of mine. His name is Bob Vanderplaats. He's the president and CEO of the Family Leader, and he's headquartered in the great state of Iowa, which puts him in a unique position in presidential politics. We'll get into that in a bit if time allows. And he is highly quoted in national and international media, the full gambit, basically every presidential cycle. You may hear his wisdom. And Bob is with us on the line today. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Rebecca. So good to be with you.
And it's great to hear your voice again, my friend.
Yours as well.
And when I opened up CNN and I saw your article there, and it's called This Easter, Don't Let Politics Define Forgiveness. That's such a great topic. But would you mind giving us a little bit of background on what prompted you to write this piece, especially in this forum?
Well, it seems like our current president, President Trump, has brought a lot of issues to the forefront. And we've been consistent here, the Family Leader, saying, hey, we pray for the president. We cheer him on when he does things that are right according to God's heart and plan. And we're also willing to hold him accountable when he does things that are outside of the bounds, when he falls short, as we should remind ourselves, we all fall short. And so I did an interview on MSNBC with Katie Turr, and Katie's a friend of mine. And we did this interview about the evangelical response to President Trump and some of the stories that are coming out about his life before he was president.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talked very openly about that. And then Aaron Burnett of CNN had a peer of mine, Jerry Falwell, president of Liberty University, on, and pretty much talking about this same topic. And she brought me in with the MSNBC interview and all, but there seemed to be a lot of conversation and discussion about forgiveness. And so I said, well, let's write an op-ed. Let's put it to CNN. And first of all, let's see if CNN will run an op-ed on the heart of forgiveness, the Easter message. And as you saw, they ran it.
That was amazing.
Run it. But it was one of the top, it was under their news and buzz, meaning it was getting a lot of hits, which I thought, praise God.
Absolutely. Well, and but the cool thing go ahead, Bob.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say the cool thing about that is that while the context of it was a sort of a political discussion, or it was launched by that, really your article is much more about, like you said, the very heart of forgiveness and the basics of how we can have hope in Jesus.
Oh, without question. And the reason we put it that way is because it seems like so often we get put into a position either we're for Trump or we're against Trump. And you have to be in one camp or the other camp, but there's no room to be in between. And so the title of the article, Don't Let Politics or Don't Let Trump or Don't Let CNN or Don't Let MSNBC Define Forgiveness, because we need to think way bigger than that. And we need to look way higher than that, as the psalmist says in Psalm 121. And the reason is Easter tells us, listen, we all fall short of a holy God. We're all equal at the foot of the cross. But the good news is that God loved us so much. He loved Rebecca, who's fallen. He loved Bob, who's fallen. He loved all the listeners who are fallen. He loved Donald Trump, who's fallen, so much that he would send his one and only begotten son, who would live, who would be beaten, who would die on a cross. But the good news for Christians isn't that the death on the cross was final. It's that Jesus rose again. He conquered death. That's what made it final. And so whoever believes in him, I mean, we have the hope of eternal life. And yeah, we're going to fall short. And when we fall short, we need to repent. We need to ask for forgiveness. And we need to start walking right with a holy God again. But that's why God says, I want you to have an abundant life. And I want you to have it to the full. But I want you to have it now, even while you're here on earth. And so we thought, if we can communicate the heart of forgiveness at the Easter time, because people are looking to politics, they're looking internationally, they're saying, there's got to be so much more. And the good news is there is so much more. Mm-hmm. And it's in the heart of the message of Easter. And that's why we published the op-ed.
Amen. And I love how clearly you're able to explain this and break it down. I love that CNN published it also in that type of clarity, because I think all of God's people should be able to explain forgiveness and the centrality of it that clearly. And you also mentioned just now how understanding our own need for forgiveness plays a role in how we live out not only our faith, but our politics and our private lives as well.
Exactly. And we should never take forgiveness as a cheap measure of grace, because when we understand Easter in all of its fullness, we understand that God paid the ultimate price through his son. And that was a huge sacrifice. So we should never cheapen what was done on the cross and what was done through the resurrection, through an empty tomb. So that's why when media outlets basically say, well, is adultery wrong anymore? Yeah, adultery is wrong. Adultery is wrong, whether it's with your neighbor or office worker or with a porn star. It's wrong. Mm-hmm. But what we need to do, because we all fall short, we need to repent. We need to confess. We need to turn back. That's what God wants us to do. I fall short. And again, all of us fall short. But that's why God had his son do what his son did. And that gives us hope. And that gives us joy, and that gives us a bounce in our step to live a daily life and to think way bigger than the current political arena.
Preach it, Brother Bob. Bob Vanderplaats yeah. is our guest. He's the president of the Family Leader, and he is what some outlets have called a kingmaker, but I think Bob prefers standard bearer. And he's discussing his recent piece on CNN's website called This Easter, Don't Let Politics Define Forgiveness. You can find it at CNN.com. We're going to take a little bit of a break, but when we come back, we'll talk a bit more about what forgiveness really means, how we can live that out, and what the Family Leader is doing these days, and the highly influential and unique voice that they have. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to the Early Morning Late Show. Rebecca Maxwell at the helm here. And with us is Bob Vanderplaats. He is president and CEO of the Family Leader. He's also my friend. And we're talking to him because he's written a great piece at CNN, of all places, called This Easter, Don't Let Politics Define Forgiveness. And Bob, you mentioned that this concept of forgiveness has come up more in the mainstream, and the conversation has surrounded evangelicals and Donald Trump specifically, but it's so much bigger than that, as you point out. I do think it's hard to not let our politics or our preferences kind of creep in, because they get tangled up in our sense of justice. And sometimes we find ourselves imposing different standards for forgiveness or for righteousness on different people, don't we?
Oh, we definitely do. And in politics, it's all too common. If you're a Republican, then we just have the Republicans back at all costs. And if you're a Democrat, you have the Democrats back at all costs. Instead of realizing that, you know what, both parties don't have it right all the time. And matter of fact, we're still individuals, and we're fallen by nature. We're depraved by nature, and that's why we need a savior. And we're going to make mistakes. So therefore, a real friend, I said this to Donald Trump one of the last times that I visited with him. I told him, I said, you know, rather than endorsing you, I'm going to be a friend to you. And a friend is, again, someone who's going to applaud you and encourage you and do all that, pray for you. But a friend is also going to say, here's where you do wrong. Here's where we need to right the ship. That's what a friend would do. Because, Rebecca, if you saw me doing something that you know that was hurting me, or that was hurting my family, or that was hurting my leadership at the Family Leader, I would expect you to speak into my life. Mm-hmm. Not because you want bad for me, because you want good for me. You want to bring me back. That's what Christian brothers and sisters are meant to do. That's why we have this thing called life together, and we make one another better in Christ when we do that.
For whom much is forgiven, then we also are expected to forgive much as well. Bob, I have to give everyone else a little bit of insight on your daily life, because you mentioned being able to talk to Donald Trump as a friend. That's not something that the vast majority of people are able to do. So let's tell people a little bit about how you meet all of these presidential candidates and kind of your position in this wild and crazy realm every 4 years.
Well, I'm blessed to serve at the Family Leader. And the Family Leader, as you well know, Rebecca, is the largest statewide Christian ministry focused on inspiring the church to engage the institution of government to advance God's kingdom. I was the first in the nation to kick off this presidential caucus process. A lot of the candidates will look us up. And the reason is not so much because they want to talk about banner plots. They really want to have access to our base. They want to have access to this huge network that we have. We're more than willing to provide a platform to those who want to lead this country, a Republican or Democrat, to cast their vision and to really tell us what defines who they are, what makes them up. And then what we do is we hold that against God's word, God's standard, to basically determine, is that the minister of God, Romans 13, that we need today in this country? Because our ultimate goal is that we would see a revived America that honors God and blesses people. And so therefore, yeah, we get sought out from time to time, because not so much because of who I am, but because of the people that I represent.
And I know that one of the biggest calls that the Family Leader has is to help equip Christians to engage faithfully in all realms, but in the civic realm specifically, without compromising conviction and putting God's kingdom first. That can be a challenge for a lot of Christians, as you mentioned, you know, kind of across the political spectrum. It seems really difficult to engage in this system without some measure of compromise or feeling like they're splitting their loyalty. So how do we do that?
Well, there's no doubt. It's a tough road to walk. It's a narrow road to walk. It's much easier to read Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. It's easier to read that than to actually do it. Mm. You know, our goal is to actually do it. But I do believe, especially in this environment, Rebecca, which you recognize, your listeners recognize, it's a highly polarized environment. We see a lot of division today, not just in politics, but in families. And I believe it's a great opportunity for the church to be the church to bring light into darkness, the church to look higher, the church to bring, to be the Nathan to a David, the voice of truth to a culture. It's an opportunity for the church that so many people are looking for, because they're seeing, I thought it was going to be in this political realm, or I thought it was going to be in this earthly vessel, or this earthly person, or this earthly instrument, and we find it wanting all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think the good news is still the great news, which comes at Easter, and that's why I'm glad CNN published it.
Absolutely. And I know your book, If 714, is also gets to a big part of equipping Christians in their civic engagement, doesn't it?
Well, it really is. And, you know, what we try to do is take that verse that's quoted all the time of 2 Chronicles 7:14 and put it into just an apical measure of how can we actually do this? How can we actually pray for our country? And so if your people would go to if714.com, they'd be able to get access to the book, but also a lot of prayers and devotionals. They could download an app and join thousands of others, I think over 60,000 right now.
Wow.
Praying twice a day, morning and evening, for revival in this country. The YouVersion Bible app is running a 5-day devotional series starting today, basically based on If 714. So anyhow, there's so much that's happening. God's blessing it tremendously. But I think we're seeing seeds of revival, and I would just encourage your listeners, keep praying and keep looking higher. Good things are happening. God is at work.
And that's a team I want to be a part of. the team that's thousands praying for the country. And Bob, as we wrap up, by the way, I should let people know that if they want more information, they can go to thefamilyleader.com. That's a good place to find out more about their ministry, the work that they're doing, not only in Iowa, but this would be helpful to listeners all across the country that are interested in engaging socially and spiritually in a time of great uncertainty. But people are looking for hope, as you said, Bob. And I wonder if you'd be willing to wrap up our time by just praying for the country and specifically for God's people to be able to shine bright and to be that light in a dark time.
You know, I really would consider it an honor to do that. So let's pray. Dear Lord, we come to you this morning, and we are just so grateful and thankful that we get to do this. Thank you for this medium where we can reach many and that we can unite in prayer. Lord, thank you for the joy that you give us. Thank you that we get to walk with a bounce in our step because our hope is in you, in a risen Lord and a risen Savior, and that encourages us to live our life for you. And Lord, I just pray that as we go out and try to provide leadership in this country, to be a voice in this country, that we would walk in humility, that we would be sincerely in prayer, that we would be on our knees in constant communication with you, that we would seek your face, we would get our leadership from you, we would be your hands, we would be your feet, we'd be your eyes, we'd be your voice piece. And Lord, I pray that we would turn from whatever wicked way is in us, whatever sin that separates us from you. And Lord, we're going to claim your promise in your word that you say, when we humble ourselves, when we pray, when we seek your face, when we turn from our wicked ways and we turn back to you, everything back to you, that you will hear our prayer, you'll forgive our sin, and you'll heal this land. And Lord, that land might be us individually with us restored relationship with you. It might be in our marriage. It might be in our family. It might be in our church. It might be in our community. But we pray the ripple effect would be to this country and that we would realize a revived America that honors God and blesses you. And it would be a light unto the rest of the world. We give this day up to you. We just thank you, thank you, thank you that we get to participate on this journey for such a time as this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Bob Vanderplaats of the Family Leader, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's always good to talk with you, my friend.
Oh, thank you so much, Rebecca. Get back to Iowa. We love you.
I'll have to come by for a visit.
All right.
Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bob Vanderplaats, our guest. Check out his piece at CNN called This Easter, Don't Let Politics Define Forgiveness. We'll be back in just a moment.
Thirty minutes past the hour, I'm Dick Butworth filling in for Bill Arnold. It is still the early morning late show, and we are so thrilled and honored to have you with us this morning. Coming up in the next segment, Kim Cotola. Kim will be talking to us about a number of things on the pro-life front. She is with the program Cradle My Heart. By the way, if you're a wannabe or a talented writer, we have the Faith Radio Writers Contest that is now open and accepting submissions. You can find out more at myfaithradio.com. Again, thanks for joining us. We have news coming up, and then a little bit later, about 8 minutes from right now, we'll be talking to Kim Cotola. Thirty-four past the hour, Ray Hollenbach was a recent guest on Faith Radio. Quoting from Titus chapter 2, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age." Ray went on to share how this passage has impacted his life and what it teaches us today about God's grace.
I met the Lord a long time ago as a 15-year-old when I was in high school, and I experienced salvation. Jesus paid a price that I could never pay. And we know from the scriptures that we're saved by grace through faith. But for the longest time, until I really saw this passage in Titus, I didn't realize that grace not only saves us, but the passage in Titus tells us that it does two other things. So first it saves, but then it teaches us how to say no to ungodliness. And then finally, it teaches us how to live sensible, upright lives in this present age. So the grace of God is going to show me the way to heaven, but the grace of God's also going to help me here on earth.
That was Ray Hollenbach. He is a pastor. He is an author. The topic was Living a Grace-Filled Life. And if you'd like to hear the entire interview, you can go to our website, myfaithradio.com. In the search bar, put in the word or the phrase deeper grace, and it should lead you right to that interview. Coming up in just a few moments, we're going to be talking to Kim Cotola from Cradle My Heart. She's a regular guest on Thursdays. We look forward to chatting with her in just a few moments.
There's a battle going on over the education of our children with eternal consequences. This is Jim Garlow. In public school, your child will not be taught to pray. The Ten Commandments won't be on the classroom wall. Biblical principles will not be learned at school. The battle over the education and well-being of our children lies with us as parents. So what happens when they're ready to go off to college? Did you know 7 out of every 10 Christian students are leaving their faith as they move into college? What chance will they have in an ungodly university? It's essential they are grounded now in a biblical worldview as thoroughly and consistently as possible during the time you have them, and then send them to a Christian, truly Christian, university. The truth is, we're on the front line of the battle of thought, a war zone. Be well-versed. There are answers to your questions at jimgarlow.com.
Thirty-eight past the hour. You're listening to the Early Morning Late Show with Bill Arnold. I'm Dick Whitworth filling in for Bill. Bill will be back in studio tomorrow. He's been on some R&R time, well-deserved, and certainly I have enjoyed the opportunity to spend a couple of mornings with Paul and Rebecca and you, and so hopefully it has been mutual. It has been reciprocal. Our guest, as always at this time, Kim Cotola from Cradle My Heart. Kim, welcome. How are you today?
Good morning, Dick. I'm well. How are you?
I am doing well. Getting better. The coffee is kind of kicking in and feeling a little bit more at home at this hour. And great to have you with us today, Kim, and as always, looking forward to some things to talk about. I guess one of the things we want to discuss is Planned Parenthood would like a do-over, and it sounds like they made a request through a tweet that backfired, including things that they were looking for related to Disney princesses. Would you elaborate?
So they tweeted out, one of their local affiliates tweeted out a couple of weeks ago that we need a Disney princess who's had an abortion. It was on a laundry list of other issues that they consider to be social justice causes, including we need a Disney princess who's a union worker, I think. We need a Disney princess who's an immigrant. Maybe illegal immigrant. I don't remember all the details, but they definitely said, you know, they called for a Disney princess who's had an abortion. And they since retracted the tweet. They said that it was part of an ongoing Twitter conversation that about princesses we want to see. They were trying to make a point about the importance of telling stories that challenge stigma and championing stories that too often don't get told. But upon reflection, they said it's not appropriate, so we removed the tweet. They got a lot of backlash over it, and I'm glad that they at least admitted that it's inappropriate.
Yeah, it it sounds like they actually had some responses from people who were Disney princesses, and didn't they actually hear from a young lady called Deanna Falchuk, who actually was a Disney princess and had an abortion but regretted it, right?
Well, as a woman who's had an abortion, my first thought was, wow, we need to make a Disney storyline where there's an abortion and show the lack of a happy ending. Or perhaps if Disney would be really bold, it could be a Christian story showing a redemptive ending where the woman like me finds reconciliation with God and with herself and with others after an abortion. That would be a story I'd want to hear. But, of course, that's not the type of story they were suggesting. But, no, instead, Deanna Falchuk wrote for Medium, and her piece was I Was a Disney Princess and Had an Abortion. And she's a remarkable young woman, Dick. She She had an abortion at 18. She was doing one of the costumed characters on the Disney properties. I don't know if you've been out there and visited, but you run into, Cinderella, you run into Snow White, you run into their characters.
Pluto scares me. I have to be careful. So.
I know. She was playing Cinderella at one of the facilities, and at 18, when she became pregnant, she had an abortion because she wanted to continue in that job. Her voice was used in recordings as Cinderella and Sleeping Beauty. This was way back in 1981. She worked for their special events and ongoing shows, about five shows a day, she said, as in front of Cinderella's castle, singing, "Someday my prince will come, and when you wish upon a star." So she didn't tell anyone that she was pregnant. But she made the decision and then had an abortion, and she wrote that she struggled deeply afterwards, and that she had to quit her dream job due to her inability to reconcile the decision within herself. She said, Dick, she wanted to die. Mm. Now, she found healing, and she writes that by the grace of God, she's living an amazing life. And, oh, my goodness, this is really a fairy tale ending. And, you know, God writes the best endings. Someone listening to this who's struggling and hasn't reconciled an abortion, her story is so beautiful. And, you know, you don't have to go this far, but listen to what she did. She married, gave birth to a beautiful daughter, and then a son, and she went on to adopt five children, one from Guatemala. And this baby was born to a girl who was only 14 years old, but she decided not to abort her baby. And then she, Deanna, adopted three children whose mother died from AIDS in Ethiopia. And she adopted a son from a Ukrainian orphanage. And she gives tribute to all of the women who, as princesses, gave birth to these children so that she is whom she's now the mother for. And she writes about their bravery. And she writes about how, Dick, abortion does not empower. That Disney princesses all demonstrate and represent beauty out of ashes. We all as Christians know that reference from Isaiah 61. And this is what God can do for us after abortion with repentance and with good support from Christian abortion recovery. I think it always takes that, you know, for our stories to fully be redeemed. We need one another. We need to be in fellowship. That's God's way for us. But yeah, she really, it's a slam dunk. It's a mic drop that she answered in Planned Parenthood in a way I don't think anybody else could have.
Oh, I love the mic drop. If you don't understand that reference, you need to call a grandson or granddaughter. But that's a good one. You know, I was listening on the way in this morning to Pete Briscoe from Telling the Truth, and he was just talking about, you know, that literally we are all cracked pots. You know, we have weaknesses, we have failures, and yet he said redeemed people have the opportunity to use those wounds and scars as ways of showing the grace of God. And Kim Cattola, I can think of no one who has done a better job at using something that was certainly tragic in your life, and you've turned it around in a redeeming way to call out others, both in mercy and grace, to find the same kind of redemption and forgiveness that you have through a choice that you made as a young person, literally. And, you know, I applaud you for that. We're always very proud to hear you speak on these important topics.
Oh, thank you, Dick. You know, one of the most powerful things that Deanna wrote, and she's now got a movement to help women draw out the princesses in themselves. She wrote, "For years, feminists have been princess bashing." And isn't that true, Dick? She says, "Because they clearly don't grasp the depth of the princess stories that have already been told of overcoming evil, beauty rising out of the ugliness of the world, empowering love, willing to slay dragons, resurrecting life after evil, witch potions threaten to poison, and demanding true love in a world that wants to rewrite the happy ending into something less romantic." What a vision for a young woman who's pregnant and afraid. What a vision, you know, because, yes, God has redeemed me, and I live to tell that story. But, wow, if we could prevent others from making that mistake, that's a beautiful story, too.
Yeah, that's a great word. You're listening today to the Early Morning Late Show with Bill Arnold. I'm Dick Whitworth filling in for Bill, talking to Kim Cattola. We're going to be back to talk more with Kim in just a moment. We're going to take a short break. Thank you for staying with us. It's 45 past the hour. Well, good morning. It is 48 past the hour. I'm Dick Whitworth, again, filling in for Bill Arnold. The Early Morning Late Show with Bill Arnold. It is April 5th, actually, and it's the first day of the home game for the Minnesota Twins. They're going to be their first home game of the season after they remove the snow from the field, which just really doesn't seem right. Something is wrong with that picture. Kim Cotola, thank you for joining us today. Kim is with Cradle My Heart. And Kim, this is kind of a happy, sad moment for me because I know you've made a tough decision. I know you're happy about what you're about to share. But it also makes me sad. And with that, I'm going to let you take a moment to kind of share what's going on in your life and in your world and what's ahead for Kim Cotola.
Well, Dick, we started Cradle My Heart Radio in 2012 with the help of Faith Radio and an outlet in Georgia at New Life FM, who you personally and the team at Faith Radio understood that if we are silent about abortion, how will we prevent it and how will we help those who have been impacted by it? You got right away this vision that we wanted to tell our stories and we wanted to be able to connect, help people connect our stories to the truth of Scripture and show, you know, that abortion is wrong and that abortion is unnecessary and that with the proper support, we can uphold women to make life-affirming choices. So we did that, and we've been doing that since 2012 with Cradle My Heart Radio on Sunday nights, and we launched a daily feature in 2016. But the ability to sustain the ministry has means that we're going to stop producing new episodes of both of those programs in May of this year, and it was a difficult decision for us to come to, but. You know, these are difficult times for ministries to sustain themselves financially, and that was part of our decision. But also, because God had opened so many doors and had provided so many opportunities for funding in the past, when the funding didn't appear this time through, we had to accept that, well, this is our sign that, you know, the season is complete for this work. And it's very close to a seven-year sabbatical period, if you will. So we're at a sabbatical year. So we've made the decision that we're going to stop production for the time being and wait and see what God has for us in the about a year from now.
Bless your heart. Well, I know really we have been privileged and grateful to be a part of the launch and the story of Cradle My Heart. Do you have some favorite moments, reflections upon the last few years doing the show?
Well, oh my goodness, the show has been so enlightening and illuminating to me. And I will say this, Dick, you know, there are still new layers of healing that occur for me as I continue to think about and wrestle with and tell the stories of others. New layers of healing for me, hearing about the grandparent journey after abortion has been very, very impactful. Realizing when my first grandchild was born almost, well, 3.5 years ago now, that my mother, may she rest in peace, promoted abortion to me as problem solving, and I think she was very concerned over protecting my relationship. And I have forgiven her for that involvement. There was nothing, you know what I mean? She was
sure.
doing her best.
Sure. No, there was nothing malicious or
right.
ill-tended.
I truly believe she was acting out of love in making that mistake. But when I became a grandmother and realized what she gave up and what she, if you will, what she missed, it was something that, again, there was a new layer of healing for me to understand that, you know, my mother was willing to sacrifice a grandchild for my well-being. I don't know if anybody can fully understand that
sure.
emotional journey without having taken it, but I don't think that I would have been able to grapple with that? Have we not had the experts that we've been able to bring onto the program, people from the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, voices of pastors and others who've helped us to, you know, think it through and helped us to, again, apply God's word to us and say, well, how does the ministry of Jesus Christ with the individuals that he touched, how does that impact us today? What can we take from those stories to help us? And week by week, we've been able to do that. And so I think personally, that's been, selfishly, that's been something that I have really enjoyed as we've been, you know, presenting the stories each week.
Well, I've always loved the idea that, you know, thinking of the pro-life message, it's easier to build fences at the top of a mountain than hospitals at the bottom when people crash. But you have the unique vantage point to help people through the process, because certainly many have bought into the lie of abortion through the years. They've been very effective in their messaging, and now what do they do? And you have been very instrumental in giving people hope, and Cradle My Heart has been very active in that regard. And so, again, we have been so privileged and pleased to be a part of your story, and certainly the redemptive story of Christ to men and women who've gone through this process. Kim, speaking of grandparents, your plate is not going to be empty anytime soon, I understand. Is that correct?
Well, the personal side of life, yes, also impacted my decision, because my daughter gave birth to twins in February, and one of them has special needs. And Bill and the team at Early Morning Light Show have been so kind to pray for Jonas. He came home at 5 weeks after a stint in the special care nursery, and he's just growing like a champ, and everything is well with the health of all three of the of my daughter's children. But she has three children under the age of two, and we are a little busy. And you know, by the way, Jonas, I'll give you Jonas update. He flipped over at 3 weeks.
That's good.
Babies aren't supposed to be able to do that from his tummy onto his back until they're 3 months old. So he's a teacher already. He's teaching us that Down syndrome does not mean a life of less.
No.
It means a life without limits is how we're trying to approach raising him. But I've decided to, yes, lend my time and my hands to this growing family. And we have another grandchild on the way in June with my stepdaughter in Portland and her husband. And I have two in Chicago. So, yeah, we'll all be crisscrossing the globe for the near term.
Well, Kim, let me just say on behalf of all of us at Faith Radio, thank you for allowing us to be a part of the Cradle My Heart journey. And we hope to see what happens in a year from now. And God bless you in your grandmother duties as well. Very, very important. Kim Cotola of Cradle My Heart, my guest. We're going to be back with more of the Early Morning Late Show in just a few moments.
Today is the tomorrow that you promised yourself yesterday. So get it started right with the Early Morning Late Show on Faith Radio.
Ooh. 57 past the hour, hour number one in the books, and a special thanks to Bob Vanderplatz and also Kim Cotola. Coming up next hour, Dr. Ann Bradley, and also Dr. Peter Kapsner. Dr. Kapsner is in the room, and I heard a story about him the other day that when he was a little younger, he was bitten by a dog. He went to the doctor and found out that the dog was rabid. And he became very upset and kind of unnerved. So he asked the doctor for a piece of paper and a pen, and the doctor provided that. And Peter started writing. He said, Peter, this is not a fatal, you don't have to do your last will and testament. He said, oh, that's not it, doc. He said, I'm writing a list of people I want to bite. So we'll hear if that's true or not. I'm not sure. I wouldn't put much stock in it. Hey, by the way, a week from Tuesday, the 17th, we are doing a live broadcast of the Early Morning Late Show here at the University of Northwestern in St. Paul. We'd love for you to be a part of that. You can sign up online at our website, myfaithradio.com. Again, that's Tuesday morning, April 17th, 7 a.m., and Dr. Peter Kapsner will be in studio live. It's going to be a lot of fun.
You'll get to see what all these people look like in person, at 7 a.m.
It's always a little disappointing. We have faces for radio. That is the old joke. We still tell it. We still get a few smiles now and then.
It'll be fun.
It will be fun. Coffee, pastries, orange juice, join us. You can find out more at myfaithradio.com. More of the Early Morning Late Show in just a moment.
Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show.